Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Harvest Community Church podcast. We hope this message today brings you encouragement and inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. If you ever have any questions or you want to learn more about us as a church, you can always check us out at harvesttn.com. Enjoy the message.
Open your scripture, your Bibles, your Bible app, whatever you have, to Daniel chapter 3. It's where we keep going back. If you don't have one, you can see the scripture off the screen in a minute. But today I want to continue. I'm going to continue on with the series that we've been on, Another in the Fire. But today's message is going, we're going to go back to the same story. Today's message is going to have a different title. And the title of today's message is going to be Never a Victim. And I'm believing for the Lord to help us today. This whole series was kind of birthed out of a season of prayer for me and praying for our church family, our nation. But even within our church family, there's been, over the last couple of years, a lot of very difficult things going on in people's lives. And I was just started beginning to pray, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was giving birth to this series and desiring for us to get this because He wants us to learn how to walk through trials with dignity and honor. When we walk through trials with dignity and honor, it brings dignity to our, it brings glory to our Father. When your children live in such a way that it points to that, that's a good daddy right there. That brings glory, right? And we want the world to look at our Father, our heavenly daddy. And because of the way we're living our lives in faith and in trust in Him, the world says He must be a good daddy. He's taking care of His kids. And so that's the birth of this whole thing. So the first two messages, we talked about walking through the trials, how to deal with trials, the very fact that they're going to be, there's no way of getting around them. We will all go through them. But today I want to share a message on never being a victim. And if you find yourself in a situation where we're drifting down that path, I want to be able to help you with that today. So let's look at Shadrach chapter 3. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And I want us to look at what we don't see in this passage. I want us to listen for what you can't hear, okay? Sometimes if you're looking for what you don't see and you're listening for what you can't hear, you can learn a lot. A lot of times we get so blinded by what we hear that we miss what we're not hearing. And so I want us to hear, see what it is that we're not hearing in this passage. Of course, if you're visiting with us today, or if you have been out and you're back in, we're in a series on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar has built a 90-foot tall idol. He has demanded or commanded that everybody, all of his inhabitants, bow at this idol and worship his gods. And his intent is to pretty well take over the world. This first part is a ceremony where he's called in all of his leaders, all of his government officials, and he's saying, "You bow to my idol." Now, every one of them from all nations and tongues and all peoples are bowing. He has people that he's brought in from all over the world that are there and they're serving him. Some of them, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were brought there against their own will. And so they're serving.
Could you please repeat what you said?
No, Siri, I cannot repeat what I just said. I don't even know what I just said. I cannot believe that. Siri, I even had her turned off. She's listening to me. She must have thought I said, "Hey Siri," right? Man, you little nosy critter. And for those of you in the government that are listening to this, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. So Shadrach, who are we talking about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the only ones out of everybody that will not bow to this king's idols. And so here's the king confronts them, tells them they're going to burn, and this is what they say. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Stop. That's their statement. Boom, done. Did you hear what we didn't hear? Did your ears perk up to the fact that we didn't hear any victim talk? Right? Even to the point, we don't even need to defend ourselves. We don't even have to have this conversation. There's not a voice of victim anywhere in this thing. We don't see them acting like victims. They're not running. They're not hiding. They're standing up for what they believe. And when I look at this and I think about the society that we live in today, where being a victim actually has become popularized to where it is a preferred lifestyle for so many people than living the life of a victor, the life of a champion for Jesus, the life of someone who is an overcomer. Does that make sense? And so I want us to take just a minute to look in this story. If anybody had a reason to be a victim, if anybody could have chosen to be a victim, because being a victim or a victor is a choice. It has nothing to do with how much money you have or what you don't have. It has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with your nationality. It has nothing to do with the family that you were raised in. Nobody can make you a victim but you. Nobody can make me a victim but me. The circumstances that surround our life do not have the power. The devil does not have the power. People do not have the power to make you a victim. Now, I realize that there's some horrible things that have happened to people that cause us sometimes to start down that path. I am not here to condemn you. I'm not here. If something bad has happened to you and you started down that path, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to continue to follow that path. I have friends who have gone through some horrible things, who have chosen not to be victims and have chosen to move down the path of being a victor, a champion for Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing when we go that route, but we don't have to allow circumstances. And I know that sounds like, "Bud, that sounds too easy, so easy. That's the reason I don't go to church, because we hear these fluffy sermons and everything." No. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. What I am telling you is you don't have to choose to be a victim. And most victims would say, "But I didn't choose it. They put it on me." Because one of the very first things you learn to do as a victim is to blame everybody for your situation. Is anybody tracking with me? I'm in this because of you. You did something to hurt me, and now I'm in this situation, and it's your fault. That goes back a long ways. Track it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The father walks up and says, "What's going on here?" Adam says, "That woman you gave me." "It's all good, Dad, until..." "And I didn't even ask for her. I don't know if you remember this, but I was doing just fine. I fell asleep, woke up, there she was. I appreciated it very much up to now. So Adam blames God, and he also blames Eve. And then, so God looks over to Eve, and she said, the serpent, he did it. And then he looks over at the serpent, and he just goes. I'm so glad. Yeah, that just didn't work. I needed. Yeah. So anyway, blame is that process. I want you to look at a passage with me in 1 Corinthians, and let's just jump on this just for a few minutes, and then we're going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, and Paul follows up on the end of that love part of that verse, in verse 11. And he says, when I was a child, I, what's that say? Talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of child behind me. So if you look at that, he's pretty well saying there was a time when I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I talked like a child, but for me to be able to get to where I needed to, there had to be an action involved. I had to put child. He didn't say I grew out of my childish ways, did he? He didn't say I just kind of, you know, it just kind of went away as I got older. No. And we all know that getting old has nothing to do with whether you grow up or not, right? So he's saying there was something that had to happen. I had to make a choice. I had to choose not to be childish any longer. I had to put childish ways behind me. We are all born with a sin nature. Every single human being born with a sin nature. And until you're born again, that sin nature is what kind of rules your life. We're born with a sin nature that is at very essence, it is selfish, right? Jesus kind of said it like this, prophecy from Isaiah, that we all like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. And so he says, yeah, there's just an innate selfishness there. But that comes out in being a victim. One of the ways that it expresses itself is being a victim. How many of you have ever noticed children can sometimes come across as victims? One of the things about children, and let's kind of look at this. Paul said, when I was a child, I talked like a child, right? Have you ever noticed a lot of times that children do not think before they talk? See, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand in a church like Harvest with so many kids, why we would ever have an issue getting volunteers. If I was not doing what I do here on Sunday, you know where I'd be? I would be in the children's ministry. You know why? Because that's where you get the dirt on mom and dad. Man, I'm telling you, you can learn some things. Mom and dad get into this big argument, and before, you better not tell anybody in class. What's the first thing a kid does? Walk into class. You know what daddy said to mommy? Whoa. All of our teachers have been trained to say, no, honey, we shouldn't do that. No. They've been trained to say, come on, tell us more. Tell us more. We got files this thick on some of you. Sometimes children talk without thinking. How often do victims talk without really thinking through what they're saying. If you think about this, have the words like this ever come out of your mouth? Why doesn't anything good ever happen to me? You ever said that? I mean, don't raise your hand. But have you ever said, nothing good ever happens to me? See, that's not thinking through. Because obviously, some good things have happened to you. But that's not what you're looking at. And sadly, when you come into, when you walk through life with a defeatist attitude, that nothing ever good ever happens to me, bad stuff always happens to me, God, why does it always happen to me? When you begin to walk with that kind of attitude, that is exactly what you're going to get. You're sowing seeds all along the way. We sow seeds with our words. We're sowing seeds. Should we be shocked when we begin to reap the seeds that we're sowing? And so we find ourselves just negative, negative, negative. A victimization is a mindset. Being a victim or victimhood, or it's a mindset. And you can change your life by thinking differently. There's not a person in this room that probably has any more reason to be a victim than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar comes into town, kills a bunch of their friends and their family, rips the town up, desecrates the temple, robs the temple of their of the things that to them were very vital to their worship. Then he chains up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and some others, and he hauls them off and takes them from their town where he's just destroyed the place in Jerusalem to Babylon. Now I'm telling you, at the very first part of that, they could have gone into victimism. They could have said, woe is me. You know what he did to us? He came in and he killed our families, and he's taken us off as slaves, as prisoners. If anybody could have been a victim, they could have. But they chose not to. That's the only way they're able to stand and face the trial with dignity and honor on this day that we look at, because they never allowed themselves to sink to the place of being a victim. Some people find that spot and live there. You've allowed the hurt that your husband brought to you, the pain that your wife brought to you, whatever your children have done, you've looked at those things and you've allowed them to come into your life in such a way now that you have chosen to live as a victim. And Paul's saying, yeah, those things are going to mess up your talking and your thinking. You're going to start thinking wrong. You're going to reason wrong. I thought earlier when Bobby was talking and he shared, do you remember him talking about who it was that had been such a blessing to him? Who was it? Softball team. Does he not know that he's supposed to say the pastor? It doesn't really matter who's really been a blessing. It's what you're supposed to say that's etiquette. See, here's what I think is beautiful at Harvest. But not just at Harvest, but what's beautiful about the Ford family. I watched them go through stuff that's just like, you know what, anybody else would have. I won't say anybody else. I've seen a lot of people walk victoriously, but a lot of people would have chosen if they had gone through what that family had gone through, a lot of people would have chosen to be victims. And when you're a victim, guess what you look for? You look for negative. You look for negative everywhere. I remember standing in a hospital room, and I'm just thinking, this is absolutely amazing, because QB Ford did not look for negative anywhere. She looked for positive everywhere, and guess what she saw? If you're looking for thorns, you'll find them. If you're looking for the rose, you'll find it. And she saw the rose in everything. She saw the beauty in all of those things. She's laying there. She knows that she's getting ready here in just a few minutes to go home. She's going home to be with the Lord. And she's comforting her family. She's loving on everybody. She's ministering to nurses. She's loving on the nurses that were in the room. She's talking to them about Jesus. All of this within just minutes of leaving this world. Not once did I hear victim come out of her. And yet we choose to be victims in our country now for any reason. And so much, we have so many of our precious young people being sucked in by lying, deceiving grown-ups who are not telling our young people the truth. And many of them are believing it, falling to victimhood because it's popular to be a victim. You want to be a part of a group, so I'm just going to be a part of this group, and I'll do this to myself, and whatever I have to do to screw up my life just to get to be a part of something. And get to be a victim and lose my sense of humor. And now nobody can even talk around me because they're afraid they're going to offend me because I live an offended life all the time. Listen, I'm not belittling anybody. I'm telling you that God has something so much better. He's got such a better life for you. You don't have to live there. You don't have to believe the lies of the enemy. You can find who you are and who you were created to be and who God made you to be. When you find that, there's going to be a beauty beyond what you can even imagine. These boys chose not to be a victim. I thought about with Bobby sharing about the softball team. Of course, I was kidding a minute ago. Do you know how Bobby was able? I have not ministered near to Bobby the way his softball team has. But do you know why Bobby was able to see it? And do you know what you would hear in so many churches? And some of you here, you can release this now because you may have even said it, but you can turn this loose because it's okay to turn it loose. People leave churches and I hear, well, I left because my family was sick and the pastor never showed up. Somebody died in their family, we never heard from the pastor. And you run off and leave. When the Father was saying, I had a treasure in so many of those people that sat around you on Sunday morning that reached out to you and you rejected them because they didn't look like the man that stands on the stage. Is anybody tracking with me? Do we see, this is what I love about you. You know that there's 1,000 people in this room you've made connections with that will pray for you and love you and minister to you. And you're not dependent on the priest. Hello. See, when you're a victim, you can't do that because you get so focused on the person or the thing that has to happen that you can't see all of the beauty that's wrapped around you. You are, if you've been born again, the way you become a victim is something traumatic that happens. Okay. I'm gonna just kind of open up to you. I know how a victim thinks because I was one. I chose. Now, it's not like there was a button here that said victim and or a button here that said victor or champion for Jesus. And I said, let me see which one. Victim. No, it wasn't like that. Be easier, wouldn't it, if it was like that? No, what it was, I felt deeply hurt. I felt like I had been used and abused and beat up and thrown out for nothing. And so going through that process, I began to adopt a victim mentality. And so all I could see was the negative. All I could do, all I wanted to do was talk bad about the people that I thought hurt me. So what was coming out my mouth? Not coming out my mouth, I'm a child of God. Not coming out my mouth that I want to praise the Lord who is the creator of this universe, this God who loves me more than life itself, this God who has filled me and blessed me and wants to use me beyond measure. No, I was focusing on negative and talking negative stuff. I don't want you to think I'm preaching down to you. I'm not. I've been there. I'm telling you, there's a better life. There's a better life. But you got to be willing to turn some things loose. But here's the danger. Here's the danger is when you sink so far that you begin to draw energy off of being a victim. That begins to be what energizes your life. And so people try to help you, and we become unreasonable. Didn't Paul say, I reasoned like a child? Okay, we become unreasonable, which means unless you're going to get in my pity boat and you're going to feel sorry for me, I don't want to talk to you. That's why some of you have run away from some people who love you and have tried to talk to you, and you run away from them because you don't want them messing with you, because you're afraid not to be a victim. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid that you will get out in this world and you will fail. And let me tell you something, you are correct. I have never known anybody that had ever become successful in anything in this life that hasn't failed along the way. We learn from those. The difference in a victim and a victor, a victim when he fails, he quits. A victor says, I've learned some things in this situation. And so now I'm gonna take this problem and what's going on, and I'm gonna learn from it, and it's gonna change me as I move forward, right? I feel the rocket energy in my feet. I'm trying to stay on the ground. And when I say the rocket energy, I mean I feel like I could just jump and keep on going. No. There's a ceiling up there. It's steel. I think it was. But the same God who parted the sea. Anyway. What was I saying? Yeah, of course, that's the whole message. I'm talking about specific. Specifically, does anybody remember what I was talking about? See, I feel like I failed. I couldn't remember what I was talking about. And so I'm just going to be a victim. Those people were so mean to me, honey, today. I don't even know if I want to go back and pastor those people anymore. They laughed at me. They obviously didn't even hear what I was preaching, because when I asked, they couldn't remember. They don't love me. If they really loved me, when I messed up, they'd got up. Every one of them walked up there and give me a hug. Do not do that. You got to be able to fail. And you got to be able to learn. Victims can't do that. But now, here's what separates. Here's what I want us to draw it up to the end for. You are not, if you've been born again, you're a child of God. You became a new creation. You're not the old person. You're a new creation, a brand new start. Are you tracking with me? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, has empowered you. Jesus said, when I leave here, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to give you power to be my witnesses. He's going to be power inside of you. We, as children of God, have a king whose name is the most powerful name on the face of this earth, and he has given us authority to use that name. Are you listening to me so far? Is there anything in this? We have been made, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 57, that we've been made victorious through Jesus. Romans says that we're more than conquerors through him. John says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Is there anything about any of that that sounds like a victim? So what I'm saying is, this rise above that. You cannot believe the lies of the enemy. And I don't care where their voice comes from. It doesn't matter if it comes from news, if it comes from print, if it comes from books, if it comes from talk shows, if it comes from podcasts. You can't let that stuff in your head. Because then you'll find yourself walking as a victim. It's one of the things I think is so dangerous about support groups. Not all of them. I think there's some good support groups. But I think a support group has to better have one victor in there. Because if they're not, all they do, all a support group does is for a group of people to sit in a room together and all just keep talking about their problems. Now, it's okay. God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was talking about God's comfort, and he said, God has comforted us. And so when he comforts us, we're supposed to comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. He didn't say that we're supposed to stay in the muck and the mire. You got comforted. You got lifted out of that. Now you help lift somebody else out of that. But what happens is sometimes we get into a support group and there's a group of people sitting there and they've all faced the same problems. Rather than somebody being there to help pull everybody out of that, we just all agree that that's who we are. We just all agree, well, we're just all victims. And then we begin to just talk about our victimhood and see who's the biggest victim. And what's the reason for the big... Does anybody hear me? I'm telling you that God has a better life for you. I'm telling you that the life that he has for you is bigger and better than anything you can ever imagine for yourself, but it's going to require risk and it's going to require discomfort. It means that there's going to be a place for you to get out of this place. And you may not be all the way into this place of a victim right now. What got me out of it? Friends who recognized it? And my willingness to listen? And the fact that I knew God could do it. Are you with me? You may not be all the way in, but you may just start to be, you may be on the edge, and you may just notice some little things. And you may see the enemy with the carrot just tempting you one step at a time toward victimhood, one step at a time toward defeat, one step at a time toward hopelessness. The Holy Spirit's on the other end. And he's saying, get back here. Jesus is the giver of hope. He's our anchor. He's the very lover of our souls. He's the sin remover. He empowers us. He gives us courage. He does all of it. The first step to any of this today is just to say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. He's the start of it. You may have a lot of things messed up. Start the journey. I'm not telling you that you make the choice today. I'm asking you to make the choice today that you're going to be victorious. You are already victorious. You just got to start living it. Jesus made you that. When you joined his family, you were victorious. You don't have to try to get victorious. You already are. You just got to start walking out who he made you to be. He made you victorious. And now it's just a matter of, Lord, I'm going to turn around. I've been walking this victim path. I've just been lied to. I've been deceived. I've allowed all the world to fill my mind with junk that doesn't belong there. And though I can't see it all and I can't figure it all out, the one thing I know is that I'm going to turn around and start walking towards you. Because as I walk towards you, the emotion may not change at first. And I may still feel like a victim for a little while, but I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to keep telling myself, you're victorious because you're a king's kid. And every time the enemy comes against you and tells you that it's no good and you're never going to make it, and your emotions start to feel that, you're going to keep walking and you're just going to say, I don't believe what I see. I don't believe what I hear. I believe the word of God, and I'm a king's kid. And I am blessed beyond measure. And I'm favored by Almighty God. And I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm provided for by my God. And I'm called by his name. And he will get you through. He will get you through. Walk out of this place today and you tell the enemy, you messed up. You let me get here today. I just found out that I'm not who you've been telling me I am. You've been telling me who my mom and daddy is. I just found out that my daddy created this universe. He spoke it into existence. I just found out that my daddy knows every grain of sand. He knows every star in the sky, every hair on the head. That's my daddy. I just found out that my Lord went to the cross and died for me and rose again. I just found that out. Today, I'm walking out of the victim thing and I'm gonna be victorious. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Is anybody here today that would say, Bud, you know what? I've never been born again. I've never truly opened my heart to Jesus. I've just kind of always considered myself to be a Christian because I was born in America. But now I realize I have to be born into the kingdom of God. And I do that by believing on the name of Jesus. Anybody here, you don't have to come up. I'll pray with you right there. I'll pray from here. You pray from there. But anybody in here want to raise your hand? Say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior today. Anyone? Bless you. God bless you. Church family, we have one today that wants to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to ask you, church, if you would, to pray this prayer out loud with me as she prays it out loud as well. Okay? Just repeat and pray with me, but pray this as sincere from your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You came to save sinners. Right now, I choose you. I receive you into my heart. I receive you as the Lord of my life. I repent of my sin. And I thank you for forgiving me. My sin is gone. I'm a new creature, a new creation in Christ. A child of God, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you, church.
Thank you for joining us today. If you've enjoyed listening, be sure to hit the subscribe button and rate and review the podcast. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.